Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Dr. Mudzengi, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Doc. How are you?
Doing well.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to be talking about the fundamental belief, the sun, together with you until Friday. And so I'm definitely happy that you have agreed to speak to us this week.
Thank you.
Now, in the New Testament, the book of Mark, you know, the very first words are in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that is Mark 1, 4, verse 1. For the remainder of this week, and so we're going to be learning about the Son of God. Now, Pastor, what does the Bible say about the Son? Who is he?
The Son becomes more magnified in the New Testament. That's where we get to get more information about him. If you go back to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, when the Godhead wanted to create a human being, they came together and they had a meeting, and if you read, the scripture says, let us make man in our image. Let us make man, which is plural. It shows that this God of the Bible is not singular, but they are plural. That's where we derive the term, the triune God. Some call it the Trinity or the Godhead. And if you go deeper into scripture, you will discover that God is revealed to us as the Father, the Son, and also the Holy Spirit. So when we are talking about the Son, we are talking about a member of the Godhead. And this Godhead, according to the teaching of the Bible, the Trinity, they are the same. They have the same substance, but they just have different roles. So there are no ranks in the Trinity, but we do have different roles. The Father, you will see that he is more active in the Old Testament. And we can basically say, from the information we get from scripture, he is the initiator of the plan of redemption. And then when the Son comes in the New Testament, he comes as the implementer of that plan of salvation. And then when the Son finished his role and ascended back into heaven, before he ascended, actually, he said, when I go, I am going to entreat or to request the Father to send you the Holy Spirit to come. And then he says, it's actually to your advantage that I go away, because if I don't go away, you will not have the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes as the actualizer of the plan of salvation. If you look at the Son, because of his human form, his human body, he was limited geographically to one particular spot. He could not be everywhere. But when the Son comes, he can operate everywhere. The Bible says he operates maybe like the wind. You may not be able to touch him, to see him, but he is there to actualize the plan of redemption. So the Father initiates, the Son implements, and then the Holy Spirit comes to actualize. So the Father gives us the Son, and the Son gives us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives us both the Father and the Son.
So we've got these three gods there in one.
Yes, three in one. if you read Genesis 2, verse 24, the Bible says, therefore, men shall leave father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one. So if you go to Deuteronomy, I think it's chapter 6 and verse number 4, it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. And the word one there is the same word which is used in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, to say the husband and the wife, they become one, and also the God of Israel is one. The Hebrew word there is echad. So in the Shema, which is in Deuteronomy, it says, Shema Israel Elohim Elohai echad. And so that if three can be one, two can also be one. So when we are to understand about the Trinity, we need actually to have this in mind, to say they are three different personalities, but they have one common cause, one common purpose.
I see. And so we're getting into the Son now. So we see in many instances that the Son would say, well, my Father sent me. He says, I will not do anything except my Father. At some point, he says, my Father, why have thou forsaken me? Etc., etc. So the Son is subordinate to the Father, eh?
Yes, if you go to the New Testament, the Bible says, even though Jesus, the Son, was equal with the Father, he did not take that equality as something to be grasped, but he humbled himself. So actually, the scripture starts by saying, let this mind that was in Christ Jesus be also in you, that even though he was equal with the Father, he emptied himself. That means he humbled himself and he became a human being. So his, we can call it functional subordination, where he voluntarily lowered himself to become the Son. But originally, he was not Son. If you go to Isaiah chapter 9, the Bible says, unto us a son is given, and the son is a capital letter S. And then it goes on to say, a child is born. So notice the son is not born, he is given, but it's the child who is born. So Jesus Christ actually took some steps down. He was equal with the Father at first, and then for the sake of our salvation, he took a step down to actually become son. And then if you read your scripture in the book of Daniel, we are told that Michael the archangel, I think it's Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 1, is going to stand. And Michael means the archangel. Right. He even lowered himself from being son to the archangel. So Jesus is actually taking all these steps down. And then he also then became a human being. And he was not born in a palace, but he was actually born in a manger. It's humbling himself. And then he also died on the cross. And then when he died, he did not die the death which we die, but he died the second death, which sinners are going to die after the second resurrection. And the one who died that death will never come to life again. So Jesus, by his death, by dying the death, which is called the second death by the Bible, which we were supposed to die when we sinned, he has turned death into a sleep. That's why Paul speaks about the dead. He says we should not worry much about those who are asleep, because Christ actually turned death into a sleep. So he came from the highest level to be equal with the Father, to the very lowest, to die the second death. because no one dies it now. And then when God resurrected him, he is now taking steps up. And then after the resurrection, we have the ascension. And when he gets to heaven, he goes to sit at the right hand side of the Father. That means he took all the steps down, and then God exalted him and brought him up to the highest level, which he is now, if he represents us in the heavenly sanctuary.
Did Jesus himself claim to be God?
Yeah, because he was asked in the New Testament to say, "Who are you?" And then he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." It's the same term which God used when Moses asked him, "Who are you?" When he says, "I'm the one whom I am." And it's actually an attribute of God. And the Pharisees said, "Oh, this guy is blaspheming. He is to be God." If you go to John chapter 1 and you read verse number 1 and verse number 3, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the same Word was God, and nothing was actually created which is without him." So the scriptures make it clear that he is God. And he also actually hates those claims when he says, "I am the bread, I am the door, I am the what." That "I am," he is saying, "I don't have the future, I don't have the past, but I live in the perpetual present." Yes.
All right. So what kind of a relationship did he have with his father? But this is now before his human birth, and of course after. Was he always submissive to the Father before, and will he be continuously submissive after this earth passes?
Well, prior to the plan of salvation, we don't know when it was, because we are talking of eternity past. What the Bible says is that the plan of redemption was devised or was put in place before the creation of the world. And if you go to Revelation chapter 13 and number 8, the Bible says the Lamb, who is Jesus Christ, was slain before the foundation of the world. So it was already decided. So we can't really get to pinpoint time, because it happened even before the creation of the world. And the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are eternal beings. And then time is just a drop in the ocean of eternity. It's insignificant. They are the ones who created time, and they put us as human beings in time, but they themselves, they live outside time. So you can't really figure out when this subordination began, but Christ voluntarily accepted to take a step down even way, way before the creation of this world, when the plan of salvation was put in place. And he has, when he came to the earth, when he was born as Emmanuel, John chapter 1, I think verse number 11 and 12, it says, "And the Word became flesh." Throughout his life as a human being, Jesus always himself under the Father. If he wanted to do something, he actually had to pray and ask the Father to give him permission to do it. One of his greatest temptations was actually to abuse his divine power. So he subordinated himself to the Father. Look, when the devil came to tempt him after his baptism in that desert area, after the 40 days of fasting, he says, "Turn these stones into bread." he could have turned them into bread without consulting with the Father. But since he had taken this downward step to subordinate himself,
Pastor, oh goodness, Pastor, can you hear me? Oh, all right, I think we probably have lost the pastor there. I'm not sure what's happened there. Pastor, can you hear me?
AWR.
Relationships have ups and downs.
Yes.
And most of the ups and downs are caused by the people in the relationship.
Mm.
So we noticed that, like, we lied a lot, we made excuses and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The one time we sat down and we told each other, I would never ever, from this day forward, I would never ever lie to you. Even if the truth hurts, I'll tell you
Hello?
The truth.
Pastor, are you back with us?
Yes, I'm back. I think there was a cut.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right, let's take the very last question. Colossians 1:15 says, suggests that Christ was the firstborn of all creation. Please do explain what this means for us briefly.
Okay, thank you very much. When the Bible says Jesus is the firstborn of all creation, it's not to say that he had a beginning somewhere where he began, or he was a human being who was then elevated.
Yeah, what does it mean, Pastor? What does it mean? We have a very short moment.
It's the same like when you read John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his begotten, the Son. The language which the English is using there is suggesting as if you are saying someone is begotten, you are saying someone has a beginning, someone was born and then he started. It means that he was not eternal. But if you go back to the original, the word used is monogenes. What it basically means is unique son. It's not supposed to be begotten. It's an error in the translation, because human language actually limps the process of divine
knowledge. What does it mean then when it says he's firstborn of creation, according to Colossians 1:15?
Basically, talking about him being the first.
What does that mean?
The most prominent in terms of role. It's not in terms of creation to say he was created first, because you read your Bible, John says, in the beginning was the word was with God, and this word was God. It already suggests that he has no beginning, he has no end, he can't be created. He is not a creature, but a creator. Our language now limps in the face of divine glory, because there are no words that can express that divine. It's just like John, I think if you read in the book of Revelation, it says, I saw something like a sea of glass. I mean, could not comprehend what it was, but it says, it's like this.
I see. Well, Pastor, I must thank you so much for your time and joining us this afternoon. Definitely, we're going to be connecting with you tomorrow at the same time and same place.
Bless everyone else.
Blessings. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.